That's right. It is a Wednesday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Matt McMullen here as well with everyone on the airwaves, on the TV, on the YouTube, on the Twitch, on the Facebook, all of that. We did our Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll question. Do you like slash agree with the Trey Smith signing? 167 votes have been placed. 88% say yes. So I'm 2% off of my shot that I called that I think it would get a 90% approval rating. When it came to that signing, Mac McMullen, welcome to the studio.
What's up, guys?
Not much, man. Glad to have you. I know that we'll get to Camp Hell here in a little bit, but how have you been? How's the offseason rolling? And what's been the best part about this offseason for you so far?
Well, first, I want to know who the 12% were that didn't approve.
So we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, we're trying to figure it out. Some people have, you know, concerns. I think the sports fan has, you know, turned into, for lack of a better term, a guy that worries about things he doesn't need to be worried about, like the salary cap, right? Like a sports fan should not worry about that at all. And here's what we're doing. If the Chiefs can afford and spend that money and they're willing to spend that money, then they can afford that guy. Done.
And the cap's going up every year.
Oh, my God, yes. Every game that's like farmed off the Netflix is more money for the salary cap.
And one thing that I learned a long time ago that I think sometimes people forget is the fastest way to the quarterback is right up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Is right up the middle. And when you have Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith in town for a long time, two of the very best in the business at their position, that's a good thing for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt, because we always think about the edge rushers. Those are the guys that get paid. But you're right. The shortest distance between 2 points, a straight line, is right up the middle. And if you're stout right up the middle, nobody's getting through that line.
And hopefully we'll see what happens at left guard in camp. That's one of the battles to watch between Kingsley and Mike Caliendo. But particularly with Kingsley, I mean, if he can be that guy for the next several years, then you have your interior set for years to come. So we'll see what happens. That's the beauty of St. Joe. But I'm thrilled that Trey is back. I mean, he's the kind of player that you want to keep around for numerous reasons.
Yep.
Obviously a great player, but you guys have met him. He's an incredible person, an awesome leader, and he loves being here. Those are the kind of guys you want to sign back up.
You know, and that's ultimately what got the deal done at the end of the day. Like 24 hours ago, I don't think they thought they were going to get this deal done. And then Trey's like, I just want to be a Chief, get the deal done. He came down big time on his price and was able to get a deal done, you know?
Again, he wants to be here. I mean, that was my feel the entire time. It's cool because his story is amazing. I mean, things were out of his control when he got drafted, where with the blood clots, like he would have been at worst, right? Like a second round pick based on his talent, completely out of his control. The Chiefs rolled the dice on him. Turns out he's the best guard in the league. I mean, how cool is that?
It's awesome.
He's been rewarded for it.
Yep.
So what's next for the Chiefs in your opinion? Is it 22 on the defense?
Well, yeah, it's funny how it never ends, right?
Yeah,
like
yes.
You always got to keep figuring it out because we have so many great players.
You nail it in the draft, you got to nail it on the contracts.
Yep, and you know Trent is the kind of player that obviously deserves a contract as well and should be in Kansas City a long time. And he's in the same mold as Trey, where he's an awesome dude off the field, an incredible leader. He deserves it. I think George Karlaftis does as well.
Yep.
I mean, there's some tough decisions and some big things the Chiefs have to figure out here over the next several months, but the nice thing with those guys is they do have the fifth-year option, so you have a bit of a runway, but we'll see how Brett Veach and crew attack that. But, yeah, you want to keep those guys around.
Well, now they can attack that, Matt McMullen, as that's what we're looking at, because 2 years ago with the Chris Jones situation, you couldn't attack anything else because you didn't know what was going to happen. And then, you know, we saw what happened ultimately with Chris Jones, but it hampered things. Like, L'Jarius Sneed couldn't get a contract because the Chris Jones thing was done. It has that trickle-down effect. Here's Trey Smith saying, yeah, I'm going to wait for the longest possible time. I'll eventually come down. Like, he only signed for $100,000 more than the franchise thing over the course of the contract. The franchise tag was 23.4. He signed 4 years at 23.5. So you know he came down big time on his dollars, wanted to be here in Kansas City. And by being that type of guy, team player, now Brett Veach can go, great, that's done, on to the next. And you can start having those conversations with McDuffie and Karlaftis's people, kind of having an idea of where you are. So Trey Smith ultimately is a big team player for a number of different reasons.
Oh yeah. I mean, you don't want a player playing on the tag.
No.
The player doesn't want to do that. And also for the team, the flexibility part of it, like if, even though the money is kind of similar for this year for Trey, is my understanding, you would still have to figure it out next year, right?
Right.
It's kind of like you just add an extra year to the whole thing. When you have the flexibility of a 4-year deal, Trey is getting paid, Trey is happy, but also you can move that money around and you know what your books look like for 4 more years. That just really helps things out when you're trying to figure out how do you sign back up the 2022 draft class, because you know, I think even after that rookie year for those guys back in 2022, we were looking at next offseason like, okay, that's going to be an offseason. We have to make some tough decisions because we got a lot of good players in that draft. I think that's one of the best drafts of all time, personally, if you look at all the contributors that won Super Bowl championships.
You're talking NFL drafts of all time or Chiefs draft of all time?
NFL drafts, okay, I think so.
Good, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, because if you look at all the different players in that class that contributed to division championships, AFC championships, and Super Bowl championships, and like were starters and actually made plays in those games. I mean, how many drafts in NFL history can you find that many guys that can contribute to a dynasty, right? So I think it's one of the greatest classes of all time. Tough decisions will have to be made, but good problem to have.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of pressure on who the guy will be at left tackle?
I think it's the storyline of camp, personally.
I feel bad for that dude.
But I'm excited that Josh Simmons was able to do stuff in OTAs and minicamp, because I think it was a fair assumption of a lot of us on the outside that didn't have access to the medical stuff, that when he was first drafted, okay, like this might be like kind of like a redshirt year sort of thing. But based on watching him in the offseason training program and listening to Coach Reed, I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's going to have every opportunity to go out there and win that job. But that's the thing. It won't be given to him. I mean, Jalen Moore is here for a reason, too, and he wants to earn and win that job. And I think he's a good player based on what he was able to do when Trent Williams was hurt last year. So I think it's, again, a good problem to have for the Chiefs. I think it's the battle of camp, and I think both guys have a shot to win it.
You know, it's interesting because we like to go into training camp and go, we got no battles. And then we like to go into training camp and say, there's a battle at that position. And for the left tackle spot, I'd love to have Trent Williams. I'd love to have Orlando Pace. I'd love to have somebody like that. Obviously, we don't have that person right now. So I'm kind of cool there's a battle going on there at that position, because it's going to make both of those guys better, as opposed to just say you just gave it to Simmons or gave it to Moore. You know how human nature is, but you got to fight for this and earn this. It's going to make both of those guys better, I think.
Brett Veach told me years ago that his job is to create competition. And when you really start looking at team building through that lens, it makes a lot more sense, where it's not necessarily, hey, this guy is going to be the guy and I hope he succeeds. It's, let's get two guys we both think could do this and let's see who wins it. And they're both going to push each other and make each other better. And you're better because of it as a team. So I can't wait to watch it. I think both players are super talented. I'm fired up about both. And here's the beauty of it. Whoever doesn't win that job, you still have that guy on the team to do tackle over tackle, to be your extra guy if someone gets hurt over the course of a long season. So I love it. And we're going to see how they compete with pads on in camp, because that's when you really find out what you have with your offensive line. I mean, it's fun watching OTAs and minicamp and all that, but they're not wearing pads. So it's only, you can only see so much.
Right.
That first padded day in St. Joe in, I don't know, a couple weeks, that's when we'll start learning who's going to win that battle.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned St. Joe, because I think it is one of those things that, like, everybody knows that's the official start to the season. That's when blank gets real, I guess you could say. Like, everything, the heat, the tire, the grind, the work. How much, in your opinion, does St. Joe affect this team for the greatness of what they've been?
I think it's everything, personally. I think there's so many ways you could break it down. We're one of, what, like four teams that still goes
away. Is it that many still?
It might be fewer than that now. Last time I checked a couple years ago, it was like four. But
well, who's it? It's us. It's Pittsburgh.
I think like Houston randomly goes away.
Dallas and, like, goes to resorts.
The Rams are
going to Hawaii or something like that.
Yeah, they are going to Hawaii. Yeah. But like in a true dorm room setting, like the 80s and 90s.
Midwest.
Yeah.
It's very old school. And you know what it does, and it does it for our staff too that's up there, is you're there nonstop. You get to know each other and you bond. And
what if you don't like somebody, though?
You better figure it out, right? But that's a real thing. Like,
seriously.
Well, let's say you're just in the facility. You don't like someone while you go home. You know, well, if you're at training camp, you better figure it out, because you're eating all your meals around them. You're around them constantly. And I think that helps the team in the long run, where if you're in the middle of a run in November, maybe you've lost a couple of games in a row. I just truly believe, and maybe I'm just a cheesy guy, but I think that the bond that you build and the things that you go through in training camp, those things help you down the road.
Yeah.
So from that aspect, I think it's really important. And also, Coach Reed runs a tough camp. I mean, it's not about coming in there and just, you know, going to Top Golf and doing team building stuff like some teams do. It's like, no, we're going to go out here and maximize every single minute we have on the field. It's going to be hot. It might be raining. It's humid, but we're going to get better. Like long drive drill. You ever watch those? And the guys are out there for 15 straight plays, and it's brutal and miserable. But the guys consistently have talked about how in December, when they're in a tough game and everyone's exhausted, they lean back on that time in August during long drive drill and practicing stuff that might never happen, like run on a field goal, you know, or, hey, we're going to practice fourth and five from the 32. Why this? Well, it might happen at some point during the year.
Or swinging D.
I hope we see that one this year at some point. But, you know, I'm just a believer in that stuff. And time and time again, we've seen the results of it.
No doubt. It works. There's no question. I mean, you can't sit here and say, well, they're doing it wrong. They've been to five Super Bowls and they've won three. I think they're doing it right.
Yes.
No doubt about it. That's Matt McMullen, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likas. We'll bring Matt back and we'll get to his top 10 most important Chiefs on this year's roster on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Got a little bit more time left here with Matt McMullen of the Chiefs. Damn glad to have you, Matt. Thanks for joining us today in studio. Before you get sent off to Camp Hell, I whenever I think of St. Joe, I think of the movie Heavyweights.
Okay.
Lunch is canceled due to lack of hustle. Deal with it. But we did a list of our most important Chiefs on the current roster. So this is the list I came up with.
Okay.
I went with Patrick Mahomes. Duh. Number one.
Who's that?
Chris Jones, number two.
Never heard of him.
Whoever plays left tackle is my third most important player on this current roster. I have Rashee Rice at four. I have Travis Kelce at fifth. I have Harrison Butker at sixth, future Hall of Fame kicker. I have Trent McDuffie at seventh, Creed Humphrey at eighth, Xavier Worthy at nine, and Trey Smith at 10.
Okay.
We have a lot of the same players, just different order, I think. For me, I got Patrick number one. Kelce, Jones, and Trey. Creed, Butker, Rice, Bolton, Trent, and George. And I did mine based off of who I believe the team has showed us they believe are the most important. And those are the guys that have long-term deals, and the last two are the guys they're going to be talking to soon about long-term deals.
And then Dr. Mackenstein has his list as well.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, I went Mahomes, Jones, McDuffie, Creed, Rice, Trey Smith, Nick Bolton, Josh Simmons specifically, whether or not he is the starter this year, Harrison Butker, and I finished my list off with Travis Kelce at 10.
This is so difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started scribbling this down, when I got this heads up 2 minutes ago, I thought I had a good grasp on it, but it's hard. All right, should I just run through it?
Yeah.
Okay. So Patrick Mahomes, number one.
Yep.
I'm putting Rashee Rice number two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Love that. I love it.
I have him at seven. You had him at what? Four?
Four.
And where did you have him at five? I think he's the key to unlocking the whole offense. We saw what happened when that dude went down, you know?
100%. I don't think people realize, and I don't think the Chiefs get enough credit for figuring it out without him. Because he,
in game, and then the rest of the year, too.
Yeah, like, he was the key to the offense last year, offensively, I think. I think it was built around him. We kind of saw it in the first couple weeks of the year. I mean, really, in 3 weeks, he had, like, 300 receiving yards. He was leading the league in receptions.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons I'm very excited for the offense this year, because you're going to have him.
Only second by Nico Collins last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beast. Yeah. I think he's going to be awesome. So anyway, he's number two for me. He looked great and explosive in OTAs. Let's see what Rashee can do. Chris Jones, number three. Travis Kelce, number four. Because even though I think Rashee, the offense will be built around him, Travis Kelce is still Travis Kelce. He still had over 100 targets last year. I still think when it's third and five against the Chargers late in the year in its fourth quarter, I think Travis Kelce is the guy that finds a way to get open.
Sure.
So Travis Kelce. I put whoever wins left tackle after that. Super curious who that's going to be. I don't know the answer, but whoever it is, that person's important.
Who do you think it is at this point in time?
Well, so based on OTAs, I think Jalen Moore starts camp as the starter. But I really do think it's an opportunity for both players to go out there and earn it. I don't think either guy necessarily has a leg up. I think both guys have a chance to go out there and play. But my guess would be Jalen Moore is the guy that starts the first practice of training camp. But we'll see. I also don't know that for sure.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
I'm assuming this isn't like high school where the first five that run up to the line are the starters, and that's how it kind of goes. But like Andy assigns who's going to be the starter at left tackle when camp starts. Like, he goes, these are the ones, these are the twos, right?
He
does all of that.
But also, I should kind of amend what I just said, because you're right, Coach Reed rotates guys. So just because guys are with the ones or with the twos, it doesn't mean like, oh, you're the starter now. Like,
gotcha.
Oftentimes players will be with the ones, and people watching it are like, whoa, why are they with the ones now? They're rotating in.
Because you know what's going to happen. The first you know, 11 on 11 of camp, everybody's going to say Jalen Moore's running with the ones, right?
Yeah. And he might be, but also then 15 minutes later, Josh Simmons might be with the ones, and they're just rotating.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But anyway, after that, Trent McDuffie, no explanation needed. Mm-hmm. I put Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, my next two, just because of what I said earlier, fastest way to the quarterback, and also the Chiefs have invested in those players. They're young, going to be here a long time. Harrison Butker next. I could have put Harrison way higher.
Yeah.
Like, we take for granted how he has been automatic in some of the biggest games in team history.
I don't think there's been anybody in Kansas City sports that is better at their job than Harrison Butker.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, against the Bengals in 22 and the Super Bowls, all this stuff. Like, when he goes out there, you know he's going to hit the kick. Can you imagine the pressure in these moments and the elements and all that? Like, he always figures it out. I mean, I think he's a future Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer, yeah.
And lastly, I put Jaden Hicks, number 10.
Ooh.
People aren't talking about Jaden Hicks, but Jaden Hicks has looked great.
I mean, Matt's just got so excited.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
I think he's going to fill in for what Justin Reed did for this team in the previous several years. I think he has a great shot to be a great player on this defense, but he's going to play a lot and have a chance to make a lot of plays. So he's number 10. I have two honorable mentions, too. Is that okay?
Yeah.
guys who I wanted to fit in here, but just couldn't figure it out. Kingsley Suamataia. If he can be the guy at left guard, I think that's a big, big deal for this team. He was great in week 18 last year at that spot. And people forget, it wasn't the Broncos backups. It was Zach Allen he was facing in that game.
Right.
The third most pressures in the NFL. He allowed two pressures that day to Zach Allen. That's pretty good. So
I think Zach Allen told him after the game, hey, great job, man. That was really good.
And I don't think Zach Allen would just go tell a random guy that. And George Karlaftis, too, because George Karlaftis was one of the stars of the offseason training program, in my opinion. He was awesome. I think George is going to have a 14-sack season.
Oh, hell.
So we'll see.
Really?
Good problem to have.
Yeah. No, but that's he had double digits 2 years ago. Like, people don't realize 10 sacks that's insane in the NFL anymore.
It's hard.
I don't think 10 people had double-digit sacks last year in the NFL. Now, obviously, Karlaftis didn't, but the year prior, he did. If he can get back to that, dude, he may be wearing that legend shirt if he has 14 sacks.
I think he's got a real shot. We'll revisit this here in about 8 months.
Yeah.
But just based on what I saw in camp and his attitude and how he looks, I think he's in store for a big year.
So I was on a show that is based out of New York, and they had asked me about the running back room. And I want to ask you about the running back room, because Elijah Mitchell was signed in this offseason. And then they draft the kid out of SMU.
Mm-hmm.
Are all four running backs going to make this team and be on this roster?
Well, Carson Steele's in there too, right?
Right.
So, again, this is where competition makes everybody better.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah is healthy, and I'm excited about that.
I think he's hungry, and
motivated. And I think he has a chance to have a really solid year. I love having Kareem back just because what Kareem did for this team last year was like thankless in a lot of ways, but so important. I mean, he led the team in scrimmage yards.
Yeah.
He came in here in week 4 and led the team in scrimmage yards. So having him and Isaiah as like a 1-2 punch, I think is exciting. And Isaiah will be healthy. And also that helps Kareem a little bit. He doesn't have to be handling all the carries. And Breshard Smith is going to add some juice to this backfield, I think. It's kind of like a receiving back. It's not apples to apples, and even Coach Reed said this wasn't really a fair comparison. But he kind of reminds me of what Jerick McKinnon did for this team for so long, where he can be that guy on maybe third down or second down or whatever it may be, catch a pass out of the backfield or even run routes way down the field. I mean, he's a former receiver that just recently made the move to running back. So he'll add some juice in kind of a different way. So to me, that kind of leaves an opening for Elijah Mitchell or Carson Steele. And that's a battle to follow in camp, I think, because Mitchell, when he was healthy in San Francisco, was awesome. Explosive, fast, ran a great 40 years ago at the combine and was responsible for a bunch of big plays in San Francisco. Just couldn't stay healthy. Well, he's healthy now. So we'll see what he has. And Carson Steele helped his team in a bunch of ways last year, too. So I think that's a good competition to watch, and it'll make the whole team better because of it.
How many running backs do you normally keep on a roster?
So I'm glad you asked, Bob.
Thank you.
I have it all right here for you. So last year, we only kept 3. Year before that, 3. 2022 was 5, but I believe that included a fullback. 2021 was 4, 2020, 4, 2019, 5. So if you're including a fullback, which Carson Steele would likely be, you could keep 5 in theory, but just keep in mind that takes away from another position somewhere else.
Exactly. And that's the trickle down effect that we talk about. Okay. You want to keep 5 running backs. Great. Now, what are we doing with the wide receivers? Cause there's a lot of dudes in there that can play and contribute as well.
So we've kept 7 receivers in each of the last 2 years. And that was the first time the Chiefs had ever done that, keeping 7 receivers. And we've done it 2 years in a row. So you could do it again. But again, that takes away from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it could even be taking away from the defense, because last year the Chiefs had more offensive players out of camp than they did defensive players by one. Normally, you like to keep it kind of half and half if you can, but we'll see. Really, I think the Chiefs will keep the best players, you know, and they'll make it work with the position groups. But, you know, the receiver room has a lot of competition as well, and there's some guys that are fighting for those spots. I mean, guys like Nico Remigio fighting for a spot on this team.
Yep.
Tyquan Thornton is a player that impressed me throughout the offseason training program. You know, he's a second-round pick from a few years ago to the Patriots, blazing 40-yard dash, and he's looked good in camp. Can he keep that going with the pads on now? So these are all, again, good problems to have if you're the Chiefs. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the sixth and seventh receiver, the fifth running back, but this is where the Chiefs are great, is they find these guys that contribute and find ways to help this team win when maybe you weren't expecting it. One thing I dug up a couple weeks ago is like 35% of the Chiefs' offensive yardage last year came from four players that weren't with the team in training camp. It was Kareem, Samaje Perine, Juju Smith-Schuster, and DeAndre Hopkins. Think about that. A third of your offense comes from players that were not with the team in training camp. And that was from necessity because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
But still, it just shows that it's easy to kind of tune out on some of these battles, but they matter in the end.
Okay, can you take that and send that to the dopes at the national networks who think Patrick Mahomes is having a decline? Because that right there, that's one of the most telling stats that I think I've heard about Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I'll defend him to anybody, you know, and they say dumb things about Mahomes all the time. A third of the scrimmage yards came from people that were not on the team in training camp.
Yep.
And they still went to the damn Super Bowl. Stop with Patrick Mahomes is washed, and Patrick Mahomes is not as good as Josh Allen, and he's not the best quarterback in the league anymore. That stat right there just proves he's just better than everybody else, man.
So
it shows Andy Reid.
One of the reasons I'm so excited for this year, I totally agree with you, is that we might actually see the offense we thought we were going to have last year.
Right.
The Chiefs do not get enough credit that for in games that Mahomes played, I'm doing the math in my head, before the Super Bowl, I think he played 18 games. No, 17 games. He played 17 games before the Super Bowl. Mm. He lost his starting running back, both of his number one and number two receiver. And he goes out and he still wins 16 of those 17 games before the Super Bowl. That is crazy.
That's nuts.
It's absolutely crazy. So yeah, I think it's a lazy argument when people saying, oh, like his numbers weren't as great. Do you understand like the circumstances and how hard football is? And with a target on his back, this guy still found a way to win 16 of 17 games and get his team back to the Super Bowl for a third year in a row when you lost most of your major contributors before week five.
Right.
So, you know, I think the talking heads want to say that kind of thing because it gets clicks and whatever. But I think those of us that are here and watch the games and understand what it takes and how good and special this player is, we get it. And, you know, I think in 20 years, people will look back on this and be like, you know, everyone loved him the entire time. Well, for some reason, people are always looking for the next thing. Mm. I think here in Kansas City, we're like, we need to enjoy this because we have the greatest quarterback of all time mm-hmm. on our team who's winning games no matter what the circumstances every single year. And I can't wait to see him do that again this year.
Yeah, attacking him for down numbers is low-hanging fruit. It's stupid, and the people who do that are dumb. And then you present that the real information to him, and they don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Well, he hasn't done this. He hasn't done that. He won on the road finally in the postseason. He won with no weapons. He won with Kadrapius Toney. Like, I mean, this guy has done so many things. It's more impressive. Like that 18 season, 19 season, whatever it was, where he had 50 and 5,000. Nice from a number standpoint. Semi-pro football out of focus can look at that all day and get excited in their mom's basement. I look at what's happened over the last couple of years. I go, that's why Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. It's not the gaudy numbers. It's winning with nobody out there on the field when your whole game plan is essentially thrown out the window in week three because Rashee Rice goes down. You have to change your entire offense, and they still went and won 15 out of 17 games.
I love stats and numbers. I dig into it. I love it because I think you can put a lot of things into context, but they can't answer everything.
No.
And one thing that numbers can't account for, and I know people try to do it, but it doesn't work, is circumstances. In situation, mm-hmm. The numbers can't do it. And one player might throw for 45 touchdowns. Another might throw for 25. Well, when did those happen? And did they help their team win games? You know, in the end, that's what I care about. And Patrick Mahomes, what I think is so cool about him is that since 2018, he leads the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns. That's great. The stats are awesome. He also has the second most quarterback postseason wins of all time, mm-hmm. with 17. Only Tom Brady has more.
That's right.
Think about that. Joe Montana didn't have 17 quarterback wins. Terry Bradshaw didn't. Troy Aikman didn't. Aaron Rodgers didn't. Like, Patrick Mahomes at 29 years old has the second most quarterback wins for in the postseason in NFL history. And he has all the stats. You put it all together, I mean, what are we talking about?
And he cut his hair, so you know he's pissed.
I think he's fired up. A lot of guys cut their hair.
That's right.
So I think Xavier cut his hair. Hollywood cut his hair. A lot
Travis
of guys cut
is
their
growing
hair.
His hair.
got the flow going.
We'll get you out of here because I know you're a busy man, but what do you got coming up other than St. Joe for you?
That's about it. We're going to St. Joe here on Sunday for report day. Mitch and I will have some live streams up at camp if anybody's interested in that. If you're sitting at work and just want to watch some training camp practice, we'll publish those dates here pretty soon. But those will be fun. We'll have some interviews up there. We'll do a whole bunch of stuff up there. But it's that time again. Can't wait.
Just be careful because it gets hot up there in St. Joe and there's a lot of
BBL stinky.
Mm-hmm. Got to watch out for that. Matt, definitely we appreciate the time, brother. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. See you up there.
We appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for wearing my shirt in. I appreciate it.